We are blessed to have Brother James Artis from the New Life Church. He'll be delivering this morning's message.
I may get you a phone. I don't know how this is going to work. Do you have a phone that you got a Bible on? Oh, you got a... Your brother got one? He can use yours afterwards, right? Okay, come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. You don't want to come with your sister? This is a time for you to be up and show your stuff to these older people. Come on. Come on. You don't mind doing it. Come. I'll help you out. Okay. Three of you, okay. And your name is?
Jessica.
Jessica. You can say that loud. Jessica. You don't have to. Your name is?
Justin,
Jessica, okay. What's the next one? No next one, right? She's looking at me and said, this guy's gonna get in trouble. And your name is?
Sierra.
Isn't it a desert or mountain or something like that? Oh, okay. All right. I would like one of you to read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. I'm really helping you people, okay? Because once we read this, all of the scripture would have been read. You won't have to search and try to keep up with me, okay? All right. Now, you're blessed. You're going to read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. See how you, okay? You like that, huh? Oh, and they're looking, why do I get so many and he only gets one or two? Okay, Sierra Mountains, yes, okay, yeah, I got it. Okay, you're going to read St. John. they're going to kill me for this. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 16. Okay? All right? And your name, Justin, right?
Justin.
Okay, you're going to get the grand opportunity of reading St. John, chapter 5, verse 5, and 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8. Yeah, he lucked out at all the little ones. I'm sorry. Okay? All right. Okay. You're reading Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Okay? You can use your outside voice, okay? That is her outside voice. Okay. All right. Feel comfortable. I mean, go ahead.
God, who is sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, whom being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
All right. Okay. Next. All right. Next. I'm going to make it easy for you, okay? And I should have done that for you. I'm sorry. Read it right there. Okay? And I'm sorry about that. Can you read that? Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wherefore, in all things...
Oh, that's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18.
Wherefore, in all things is it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to
suffer, tempt, succumb.
Them that are tempted.
Okay, thank you. Now, your turn. If you don't want to read your Bible, it's right there.
Okay, I'll just read it up there.
Okay. 1 through 16.
Okay. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And he beheld his glory, and glory as of the only begotten of his Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all he received, the grace for grace.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now you can finish up. You're going to do St. John chapter 5, verse 5, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Those two right there. Okay?
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
I want to thank each of you very much, very much. You helped me a lot. You see, they paid attention to you, okay? If I got up there, they'd probably wander around in their mind, but they paid attention to you. So I want to thank you very much for that, all right? Okay, thank you. Okay. That's a little thing to get the young people used to doing some things, because when we call on the older people at time of a sermon, guess what? If they don't have any appeal for the young people, they don't purposely tune out, but they try to figure out, well, okay, what's in it for me? So what's in it for you? You help the preacher with his sermon. That is a big deal. You don't believe me? Say that to people when you go to school. I help the preacher with the sermon. And they probably say, you what? Only because they won't understand. And then you can tell them about your lovely Savior. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for the blessed opportunity that you have extended to us in safely bringing us here today. As we come, Lord, we come not by our doing, for if you did not wake us up this morning, we wouldn't be here. So you blessed us to see another Sabbath and to worship you in spirit and truth. I ask your blessing on each and every one here as we come before you. We ask that the devil have no part here, that our words will be your words, and we may not get tied-tongued or confused, and that we may grow from this to be able to continue to serve you and to serve those who are seeking you. In Jesus' name, amen. The title is All-Powerful Helper. All-Powerful Helper. It's an interesting time that we live in, and if we take that time back to the time of which Adam and Eve and the situation in the garden came up, it wouldn't seem as dynamic as what we have with all the people roaming around and all the people coming up with things. I mean, if you tell the truth, people don't believe you now. But if you tell a lie, you can become a statesman, even president. Okay, so to tell the truth doesn't fit. How many of you Seventh-day Adventists? And you should say, amen. Okay. I'm not going to get an amen out of you for being Seventh-day Adventists. Okay. Okay. But how many of you are prepared for the coming of Christ or are preparing for the coming of Christ? Okay. Good, good. Got your hands up. Well, I had this distinct opportunity to help even those people who will be looking for Seventh-day Adventists in the time, okay, of trouble. Now, how did I do that? We had a sign over on a certain part of the street that pointed to where our church was, and the city came through and knocked it down and let it lay there. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this sign? I said, I know what I'll do. I'll take it home with me. So I got it at home. You pull in my driveway, there's a sign standing in the dirt because that sign was cut in half. And it points over to my backyard and it says Seventh-day Adventist Church. So they won't have a problem finding me. I'm leading them to where I'm at. But I couldn't think of anything else to do with that sign. But people who come out and visit me, guess what? They actually go to the sign, walk around, and look for the church. It's effective. It's effective. One walked all the way around the house and came back and said, there's no church here. I said, it's in the house. It's in the house. So all I'm saying to you is get some chuckles out of you, is that God's plan for us is a strenuous one. Only on us, not on him. Okay? Because we don't know the deepness of his love. We know that he loves us. We know that we love him. Okay? But when he says, I want 100% of your love, all of you, we don't know how to do that. But slowly but surely, God leads us there. Okay, let me start. It says, through disobedience, Adam fell. Okay? The law of God had been broken. Wow, fallen, broken. The divine government had been dishonored, and justice demand the penalty of transgression to be paid. You think Adam and Eve did something humongous? Yes, as time goes down, it gets worse and worse and worse. Did they do it on purpose? No. They didn't do it on purpose. Oh, no, I'm not bothering that, Ann. I am not bothering that. I am not bothering that. Okay. To save the human race from eternal death, the Son of God volunteered to bear the punishment of obedience and of disobedience. Nope. You guys are my heroes, so I won't pick on the teenagers. How many of you adults have been disobedient? See, they wouldn't have got to be adults if they wasn't disobedient to their parents as they grew up, okay? So I just took that off of you guys, okay? So you're still my team, right? You're still my team, right? Okay, I'm looking out for you. All right. Now, but that disobedience carries through everything. Life itself. In the Sabbath school, we were talking about, no, I don't want to take your glory. I got to watch that because I do that sometime with God, say something like it was mine, but it was God's. But Leon, I like that one, okay, was talking about how we get ourselves in trouble, especially when it comes to finances. Because we're I want a people. Not the paper. I want this. I want that. I want to go here. I want to do this. But when we take and slow down, anybody retired? Okay. When we take and slow down, guess what? Money doesn't really become a problem because you know exactly what you have, exactly what you're going to get, and exactly how you're going to spend it. The radical portion is when you get a lot of money and you're young, okay, and you don't know what you want, You just go out and get stuff. Okay? Because a lot of stuff you get, you don't need. So what I'm saying to you is that this situation that the people are in is only caused by their selfishness and their I wanna. Okay? Okay, my team, you're learning that, right? You don't want a lot of stuff right away, okay? All right, because if you got 20 pair of shoes and you only can wear one pair at a time, what's gonna happen to the other shoes? Oh, see, somebody's honest. And see, I expected a lady to say that. They sit, right? All right? And then you realize you go out and get another off-red pair of shoes and what? Okay, to match some other outfit, and you look and you got three pairs of different red shoes. And you only wore one. Uh-oh, it seems like somebody's having a conversation about shoes back there. See, you can touch people in different ways. Okay, let me go on, okay? Only by humiliation of the Prince of Heaven could the dishonor be removed. Now, what that says is the only one that could pay that price was who? Jesus, right? And people don't understand. People don't understand that price that he paid caused the death of him. And the evildoer with that death, it has the same thing aligned for those who he take captive. You see, he can get you killed, but he can't raise you from the dead. So he doesn't care. You know why God told the devil, don't take Job's life? Because the devil was disarming Job, right? Disarming Job with contentions of, if God missed this one thing, I will get Job and I will kill Job. But he did everything he could to get to Job, but it didn't happen. Now Job, on the other hand, like we are today, okay, we can't see all of the future. We can't see when God is testing us or putting a challenge before us, all right? And then we do have the Holy Spirit that will bring all truth to our minds, and sometimes we fight the Holy Spirit. Look, it works. Know how, why it works? It's simple test. Kool-Aid, okay? In our house, when the Kool-Aid got to the low part, nobody wanted to touch it. Why? They got to make some more, right? So if there were cookies and they took all the cookies, nobody's going to confess who took the cookies, right? Now, what is happening there, okay? You're putting yourself in that position where when it gets to a challenge that I don't want, I'm not going to touch it. All right? Now, in our lives, we are doing the same thing. When it gets to a challenge of our character and the things that we want to do, if it's going to change what we desire to do, we want no part of it. So we can actually have the Spirit working on us to lead us to a further pathway of growth, and we decide we don't want to go any further at that particular point. How many of you have? Nope. I can't do that because then they'll pick at you guys. How many of you, when you were children, their age, knew it all? Only one person? Okay, let me go really further back. When a young child learns the word no, what's the first thing that you do? Start telling him he can't say that all the time. Because when he says no, what happens? You haven't seen a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old when they say no? They will wear no out. And that's exactly what we're doing with Christ. We're wearing him out how? by doing the same thing over and over again. Why? Because we fear to test what area? The success that he has for us. 6,000 years, don't let anybody tell you, young people, that we've been around billions of years, because it's an insult to God. Billions of years, and then all of a sudden we came out of slime or something into a man. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's not derogatory or anything, but I got in trouble in school. You know how they had that Neanderthal man, he'd come up out of the mud and everything, and he comes into a man? Well, a kid called me a monkey in school, and I seen that picture on the wall, okay? Said, "You come from monkeys." I said, "I don't think so." And he said, "Why?" I said, "You see that picture on the wall? That's not a black man at the end of it." Now, our teacher, I went to a predominantly Jewish school. Our teacher didn't like me very much for that. But it was obvious. It was hanging there every day. But the fact that I related that to the fact that I don't see myself as any monkey coming out of any slime, it just discombobulated her whole class. Because the class, they started telling each other, "That is true, that is true." But they seen it all the time, and what? They begin to believe it, okay? But when people blame you for something and you bring the truth to them, guess what? You don't always get away with "that's okay." So I had to go down to the office and all of this stuff because I was disrupting the class by what? Telling the truth that they were teaching. So in our schools, not our schools, but their schools, public schools and stuff like that, they have answers that they can't answer, and they have things that are going on biblically that when we stand before them, guess what happens? They can't handle it. Because has the earth been around billions of years? No. About 6,000 pieces. Okay, going on. Christ, equal with God, the brightness of the Father's glory, expressed the image of his person. When he said, "Let us make man in our image." And you know the other part, "Let us make him male and female." He has a plan. He has a plan that doesn't disrupt. He has a plan, I'm going to spin this now. He has a plan that says this. Now, if you are a woman with a career, don't get upset with me. Okay? Because if you read the material we have, you will eventually come across a little something that says, what is expected of a wife? And that is a great duty. I'm not talking about something somebody come up and tell them that you second to a man and all that. No, I'm talking about just doing the things of getting the kids through school and things like that. And it's an honorable thing. And why do I tell you that? Because men like to slam Eve, but when they start to read the Bible and find out all that a woman does, it makes us humble. We can do those big ratty-tat things, but we don't think the way they think or hear. When your child screams that something's hurt, who's the first one knows that that child is hurt? Just by the sound. If not, why don't you stop playing? You know how you guys get playing and your mother just yell out, "Stop, leave her alone"? He knows that. He's smiling from ear to ear. Why? Well, God is saying to us that he has a plan for us, an honorable plan, to take us from here to eternity. But we hit every bump in the road That is not necessary. That is not necessary. Let's go on quickly, because I want to bring something else to your attention. There's a question asked, okay? And the question is this. What right had Christ to take the captives out of the enemy's hand? Who were the captives? Everyone trapped in sin. And the question is asked, what right did God have to take those captives out of his hands? Now think about that. Think about that. Now go back to Job and remember, he protected Job, but he didn't tell Job what to do, right? Job held on to what? What he had learned, what he had seen, even to the face that he had to stand before his wife and tell her, you act like one of the silly women, I think he used that term, about when it came to trusting God. So why am I asking you that question? God would not have built a world for us to go through and have a reward for us of eternal life if he wasn't sincere to carry us all the way through it. And what was the cost? His son and his son's life. Okay? We must understand that God's love for us goes so deep that even when we try to understand how deep his love goes, we cannot. Not even fathom it. And guess what happens? He tells us, I'm going to give you a new body and a new mind. You catch that? Because this old mind would, you talk about explode. That's exactly what happened if we try to look at the things that are in heaven that are prepared for us. Our mind could not handle it. Could not handle it. Daniel got a glimpse, and what did he do? He fainted. So God is saying these things are so horrendous, and what you will see in the action, that I don't have to only do that, I got to give you a new body. Let those people that do all of those design of wear come up and give somebody a new body. They're trying it. And their diets and everything, you take this, you take that, you take all this other stuff, and then at one point you look anorexic and everybody's wondering when you're going to die. But if you follow God's plan, okay, not even with the diet, but I'm saying if you follow God's plan for us as a people, God's plan is not failing. See, we wouldn't need these, okay? We would be able to see. All right. Now, how many of you like to sleep? You know that's not happening in heaven. You know that, right? See, they got a wise thing, right? Okay. Five wise, five unwise. The five unwise slept too long and didn't get something, right? Okay. Keep sleeping. All right, and you will be passed by. All right, now the point I'm trying to make with you is God is giving us these glimpses of these things, and they're snapshots of truly what's going to happen. Okay? Leon, you know, you don't want me to tell that you cried when she said yes, she'll marry you, huh? No, I don't know if she did that or not, but they're so in love with each other from what I've seen and where when he came over to our church and stuff. It is just amazing. It is just amazing that you can see the Christianity and God be flowed from place to place to one another. I don't know these two who they are, but they're starting to look like each other, so they have been around each other for a long, look at them, for a long time. Look at them, okay? See, you start to look like each other. Now, what does that mean? The only ones that are going to heaven is not going to be the ones that look like God, but that the ones that have the righteousness of God, the imputed and the imparted righteousness of God. In other words, he's changing you. Even though we look back and we see where he had suffered and went through a lot of things. Now, the answer to that question is, the rite of having made a sacrifice, that sacrifice the principle of justice by which the kingdom of heaven is governed. What we're missing is that the government of heaven is not the government that we have here. The government of heaven cannot lie. The government of heaven will not take away from you. The government of heaven is saying, come in all inclusive, and everybody will be on the same playing field. You won't have to say, I want to get ahead with what God has in store, because the plan that God has in store for you. And by the way, do you know that the first fruits, what you're going to do when you get to heaven? You heard him say that you will, what? You'll be doing what for the angels? That's right. Okay. Now, who else could tell God's story but those who went through it with him? Unfallen worlds is waiting with bated breath to see the conclusion so that they can get to understand the love of God, how deeply it burns. We don't see things clearly because we're always fighting those things that are in front of us. And we always got somebody that's in Congress or something that says, these are the people that are in my vicinity and I know what they need. I don't know who we tell that lie to, because he doesn't know what I need. You see, literally, that's what they're saying. Have you put any time in to think about that? And then if it's not true what you need, but it's what they want. What did that guy do 16 times, 17 times before they came to a opportunity to get it? And they were just being obstinate. Now, I don't know if you caught all that, but those are the type of people you got standing up there telling you what they want. What they want, not what you want, what they want. And then you got to suffer the consequences, because when these laws go into place, what happens? Economically, things change. When people retired years ago, they didn't ever think that bread would get to be $5 a loaf. Right? You see the changes that come about? And what's happening to us? Watch the scales. We are adapting to them. We're adapting to them, okay? Like we got a gyroscope to keep above water. But God is saying you don't have to. All you have to do is hold steadfast to me. He promised that, you know, the promise he gave you, that it was that he would give you food and clothes for the next day. In other words, he said, I will keep you eating and I will keep you clothed. And how did he do that when they crossed Israel? I mean, when they crossed with the 40 years of walking around. Stuff didn't wear out, right? Not even the sandals on their feet. But the trip in which they were taken, they could have did, well, I think in what, 5 days, 7 days? 40 years to get a lesson? 40 years to wipe out the whole generations of those people? Are you holding on to Christ? Is my word for you. Because he came to this air, he came to earth as your redeemer, for we were the lost race. And he conquered the wily foe. Who was the foe? Who was the devil? Steadfast allegiance that he had to his Father is what carried him through. He died on Calvary for us. Can we grasp that great thing that happened at that time? With the words, it is finished. It is finished. Wow. And guess who ran and knew that he had but a shorter time? The devil himself. Because what? He wanted him to get him before he could die as our Savior. Okay? So now, He knows he can't get him, but who can he get? Oh, yeah. He can get us so easily. So easily. Brothers and sisters, our ransom has been paid. Our ransom has been paid. No one need to be enslaved to Satan anymore. Christ stands before us as our all-powerful helper. That's the sermon. God has never left us nor forsake us. Every day we get up. Let me tell you a story. And this story, I should have been dead. In 2015, I work at the Savannah Riverside, and some of the stuff I have done in the past working there allows me to get checked every year, okay? Because there's some stuff that you may get, but it doesn't show up until years and years later, okay? So I'm being tested. I come in and they tell me I had to go to medical, and I go to medical. I drove there, and it was a jubilant day. I was really happy. I get over there and I get tested, and the nurse happens to be David Mathis' niece, okay? And that's somebody we know. That's why I was telling them who it was. And they, a nurse, anybody a nurse in here? Okay. But they put these wires on me, and she looked right away, and the minute she looked at that, she said, he's systemic. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? She went and got the doctor, and the doctor came running in, and he looked and everything. He says, we need to get you to go to your cardiologist right away. Now, understand this. I don't know what the man was thinking of. He's sending me to a cardiologist that I never had a cardiologist before. So how am I going to go to a cardiologist when I don't have one? Now, all of this is filtering through my mind. He says, because here's the problem. He says, your valve is going open, close, flatline. And he says, and I can't understand why you're standing up here talking to me with a big smile on your face and jubilantly laughing. He thought something was wrong with me. But it was just God working in me strength to not understand clearly what this guy is saying that's happening, because it was happening, but I wasn't reacting the way that he thought I should. But here's what he did. He says, well, I'm giving you a pass, and you need to go to find your cardiologist. Okay. If I'm supposed to die, why you tell me get in my car, take my car keys, and go find a doctor? Don't you think you should have did something, at least put me in a ambulance and take me to the hospital in case something did happen? Maybe you could have shocked me back together again. And I go. I go and I check in with this doctor, and well, I can't see you till next week. I said, well, that's too much. So I said, okay, all right. So I go home, and my wife says, what happened? And I told her, and she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to lay down and rest, and tomorrow I'm going to get up and go to work. And did you hear everything I said I was going to do? Not even realizing how much danger I was in. So the next day, I got up, and this voice said, go over to, what's that, the hospital in Augusta. No, the other one. What's AU? No, it's the other one. Piedmont, that's it. See, I got the old name, but I wanted to get the new name, Piedmont, okay? So I go over there, I walk in, I have my paperwork. The lady says to me, it's interesting. She says to me, what are you here for? And I show her the paperwork. She said, and I went to a cardiovascular. She said, hold on. She dialed over there, and she said, you take this and you go next door right away and do everything that this lady tells you to do. I said, okay. And it was urgent, so I went over there. I got over there. Here's a lady, and standing there with a bundle, and one of them is that thing you put on, and it opens up, and in the back it doesn't tie, and, you know, blow in the wind. But she gave me that, and she said, a doctor's going to be down, a cardiologist is going to be down, and a nurse is going to be down. Now, let me tell you how good God is. The nurse that came down was a male nurse, and he happened to have a last name of a guy I worked with out at the site, and it was his son. So I felt that I'm in pretty good hands. So I look like God's taking care of me. The doctor comes in, and he's talking to me, and he's telling me we got all these vital things and some other things that were going on. And in walked the cardiologist. And he walks in, he looks at me, and he says, I'm going to take care of you, but you're on the list, but we're going to monitor you, and we get you in about 5 or 6 o'clock. I said, okay, by that time it's 10 o'clock. I'm not worried now, I'm in the hospital, right? As he goes out, I said, hold on a minute, but you're a cardiologist. Am I going to get one of those stents? You know what he said with a smile? He says, no. I'm the right one. You need the electrical. I'm that guy. How good can God be? How good could that guy? So I went in. I got all of that done. I mean, they put me on the... All right, they take you in this room, and they got all these screens. But when they put you, lay you out there, they put a thing over your face so you can't see, because they open your chest up and go in there and do some things, okay? But I woke up in the middle of the operation, feeling somebody tugging the cable that was there, tugging. And I'm thinking, am I supposed to be up? And I got, as far as I got was B-uh, because that anesthesiologist must have just pumped that thing full, because that all I know, I was out. So, and in an interim, my poor wife is looking for me at the hospital, and they sent her down the wrong hall, and they had brought me back up. But when they brought me back up, this is where it even gets worse. They had done the pacemaker in, and I'm wrapping up on this because I don't want to keep you too long. I know you get hungry. They did the pacemaker, and the guy comes in and says, I'm the technician, and everything has to be right before you go. So he plugged this thing in, and he had brought up this screen, and he could see the heart and things. And then he said, Mr. Artis, I want you to look very closely. Is there anything you see different? I said, yeah, what is that little hook thing there? Does it look like it's fastened to anything? Does it get any better than that? Remember, they got stunned by me waking up. Somebody didn't tie the lead back around to join in. So he said, the doctor will be right up here. Now, if you're talking about a lifesaver, my life was being saved by a lot of people all the way down the line when I should have been laid out, okay? And the doctor came up. He was very nice. He said, Mr. Artis, we got to go in and do this again, just tie the lead. So I get back down there, and I hear the people, they're prepping me, and they're saying, you back again? You down here for a twofer or something. Now, they're making the two for one, so they're having fun at my expense. But, okay, I get there, and the last words I heard that anesthesiologist say, oh, you won't wake up this time. I'm thinking... I'm thinking, if ever the Keystone Cops got to loose, they got to loose at that particular time. But lo and behold, everything came together, okay? Everything came together. I came out of it and stuff, and it wasn't, this is where I get teary-eyed. If it wasn't for what God had done, and I sat back and looked at it, and seen everything he'd done, and my wife is crying with me, I wouldn't have been there. It's a story that is told that has some giggles to it, but it's a story of realization. And that's what I use as I close with this. See, I'm laying out for you that God as our creator, that God as our sovereign, cannot, will not fail. So when we're looking for the all-powerful help, God is the all-powerful. You know I wasn't going to go that far. Not in front of all these people. So that I'll push him back up in my eyes before I let it come out in front of people. Okay, but thank you, Lucky. But God is all-powerful. The littlest things that we think may happen to us, they're offset by God protecting you from the bigger things. See, I could have had a car wreck or something like that on my way home, okay? But the last thing is I wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich once I got out of the hospital. Now my wife was in there because she had to do some certification for her job. She was up in Columbia. So the doctor said, you know, you're a remarkable person. You got a high tolerance for pain. He said, because anybody else woke up over there that didn't have a high tolerance for pain, they would have woke up when they would have probably been screaming. And you're asking us, am I supposed to be awake? So I said, oh, so he said, I want you to go directly home and call me. A peanut butter and jelly craving came upon me. And there was none at home. I went to Walmart, I got the peanut butter, I got the jelly, and I got the bread and went home and called him. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that I was craving all day. See, I haven't eaten for 2 days. So he thought that was very, very humorous. He said, so you stopped somewhere. Well, I had to get that. So I'm saying to you, now put it all together. Even in all the stuff that was going on for me, I still was doing things wrong instead of doing the straight things that God was telling me to do. Are you getting that picture? Even when we are doing our best and believe we're doing our best, God has things that he's doing for us that offsets some of the things we're doing. That's why I can say as Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Because Job didn't know all the things that were going on in the background with his kids dying and everything, but he held steadfast. Steadfast. And today, okay? Matter of fact, I got to get another one in 25, change out the battery or whatever. But today I've been blessed, more so. So that's what I wanted to bring to you. But I wanted to bring to you in a way that it resonates with you. God loves you and he's working behind the scenes. All those scriptures, thank you very much that you were reading. If you go back and read them, you can see the support that was there that God had already laid out in those scriptures for the things for us as time goes down. So let us bow our heads. Our Father God in heaven, thank you for your blessed hand of mercy. Thank you for the young people helping me out. Thank you for these individuals here today, able to hear my story, which they may have their own. Because I'm asking, Lord, open thou their eyes and give them eye salve that they may see the wonderful things you have been doing for them all this time that they've been on earth. And not only that, Lord, that they can see and hold steadfast too and know that you are our God and the one we have waited for. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.